singing that great, great hymn of the faith, Amazing Grace. James chapter number 1. If you have your Bible, and I trust that you do, James chapter number 1. Don't forget after the service, if you can help set up the inflatables and some things for the homecoming Saturday morning, if you have a pickup truck in particular, but if you can, you just have a strong back. We'll meet you right over here, okay? James chapter number 1. Well, I've enjoyed studying the book of James again. I trust that you've read through the book. When I was in Bible college back in the 1800s, again, Miss Putt was also attending there. She was taking elementary education. And when I was in Bible college, I had a Bible teacher who taught me a great lesson in Bible study. And I want to pass it on to you. Not really a very profound lesson, just a great lesson that I think would help each of us as we study God's Word. And that is, when you go to study a book in the Bible, whether that book has one chapter, five chapters, 66 chapters, read the book through. Read it through once, and then go back and read it through again. The first question that this man would ask when he gave quizzes was, have you read the book through five times? That was a requirement in his class. Have you read the book? That was the first question on every test. Because he said that reading, just reading through, as we'll see here tonight that the Bible mentions, just reading through it, if we're not careful, we'll casually read through because we're such casual listeners. We're not very good listeners. The art of listening is something that has to be learned. It's not something that you're necessarily born with or that I'm born with. It's something that we have to work on. Now, the gift of gab is something many people have. Talking. But the art of listening is something few people have learned to champion. Did you know the Bible has a lot to say about listening? Seven times in the Word of God, while Jesus was on earth, he made a statement similar to this. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Did you know that Jesus was the only person in all the Bible that made that statement? Did you know that? If you'll just go into your concordance and you will look up that phrase, you will find that Jesus Christ was the only person while on this earth that is recorded that he made that statement. Jesus is the only one recorded in all the Bible. Seven times did he make that statement while here upon earth. Eight times from heaven. We have that admonition. In the book of the Revelation, when the seven churches are being addressed, seven times, one for each church, it says, if any man hear, if any man hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And then one time, in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 9, we're told again about if any man hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Isn't it strange that in the book of the Revelation from heaven now, John got a vision. And of that vision, John, he wrote as he saw. But yet, the word from heaven was not look, listen. Listen. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. It's important. Remember last week when we closed our study, we said that Jesus said in the book of Matthew that we ought to take heed that we hear. And then he said in the book of Mark, we ought to take heed what we hear. And then in the book of Luke, he said you ought to take heed how you hear. Listening is something that you have to work on. Let me give you a quick illustration. Man from the country walking down the streets of New York. How many of you have ever been to New York? Raise your hand. Okay. Busy. Loud. All right? And so man walking with his friend from New York, man from the country. He's walking down. He said, "Listen, you hear that cricket?" And the man looks at him and says, "What? What do you mean I hear that cricket? All I hear is a bunch of noise and a bunch of traffic and horns blowing." He said, "You have to train your ear to listen to crickets." He said, "Did you know that people have their ears trained to listen for certain things?" And he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out a handful of coins and he said, "Watch this and I'll show you." And he throws those coins out and immediately all the traffic, all the noise, people start looking on the ground, start grabbing their pockets thinking they dropped their coins. You know why? Because their ears were trained to listen to that. Did you know you can train your ears to listen? Did you know the Bible says that we can train our hearts to listen to God? I wonder if you've trained your heart to listen to God. Here in this passage of Scripture, the Bible, in James chapter 1, in this section of Scripture, beginning with verse 17 down through verse number 27, there's three things that say it about the Word of God. Number one, in verse number 17, it says the Word of God is a gift. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Did you know the Bible that you hold in your hand, God gave it to us? In verse number 18, he hones in on that and says, of his own will begat he us with what? The Word of truth. That's the greatest gift that God left us with. You say, "Well, I thought salvation was." Well, you can't be saved apart from the Word. Because if you'll notice in that verse of Scripture, it says that we have been begotten. We are begat by the Word of truth. What a gift. Amen? So the Word of God's a gift. Now look in verse number 21. Wherefore, he said in verse number 21, he said, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness, look at this next one, the engrafted Word. The Word of God is a graft. You know what a graft is? It's a plant. It's an implantation. It's something that's planted in you. It's something that's sown in we who are saved. And so he said the Word of God in verse number 17 is a gift. In verse number 21, he said it's something that's grafted. But look, if you would, in verse number 23, and this is where we'll spend a little time tonight. He said in verse number 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face, watch it now, in a glass. He said the Word of God is like a gift. In verse 17, he said it's like a graft in verse 21, but in verse 23, he said it's like glass. Now, this word glass is where we get our word mirror. A mirror, okay? And I want to talk to you about that a little bit. But before I do, I want to show you why James says what he says in verse 23. You go back to verse 22, and he said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, here, when we've talked about the word hearing, meaning auditing, in this particular verse of Scripture, there's other places where the Scripture used the word hear, which means hear to practice. Okay? Means I'm hearing so I can put it into practice. And so he said, but be ye doers of the word. In other words, put into practice what you hear. Don't just audit. Don't just listen and then go and do what you choose to do. And he comes back to this in a moment. Now, there are many times in the Scripture that the Word of God teaches this principle. The most notable time is when Jesus was preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that sermon? We began giving you a little bit on the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday mornings with the Beatitudes, and we moved on to salt. The Lord willing, we'll talk about light this week. But now, when Jesus closed out that sermon, he made a very interesting statement that perhaps James got this thought from. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 7, and you'll see where Jesus now is closing out the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, it's closing out, and Jesus has preached the message. He's given several vital truths. And now he warns those who have sit there and listened to this message. And here was his warning. Okay? Look in verse number 24. Now, all the children could probably sing us a song right out of this passage of Scripture. They learn it in their Sunday school classes here at Fellowship Baptist Church. They probably sing it on their buses, riding to and from the church. And Sunday schools around the world, little children sing this song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock." Now, why did Jesus call this man wise? Notice what the Scripture says in verse 24. Therefore, Matthew 7, verse 24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." In other words, don't be just a hearer now. You got to be a doer. See, they both heard, but this one did it. And he said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And you can see in verse 25, "Where the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." They had put into practice what they had heard. They was not just a casual listener. They didn't just do the church thing. Now listen to me. They didn't just float into church and hear a sermon and sing a couple of songs and then get the church thing done and then go on their way. Now, and James addresses this later when he talks about the difference between a superficial religion and a supernatural religion. In verse 26 and 27 of James chapter 1, we'll get back to that in a moment, when he says, "If any man among you seem to be religious," and then he talks about pure religion. So here Jesus said, now those that hear and do, you're wise. But look what he said in verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." He said, well, "they shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." And he said, "then the rains will descend, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So those who do, as we go back to James chapter 1, and say, well, you know what? I hear the word, or I have a copy of the Bible, or I have listened to preaching, but what is the intent for these things? And so now James says, here is what the intent should be. As we turn back to James chapter number 1, and we get to verse number 23, he said, "For." Now there's not a doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Okay? You say, well, James wrote the book of James, and you're right, as the Holy Spirit of God moved upon him. He wrote, holy men of old, you see, spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. The Bible is God's word. Say amen with me right there. And listen, it's God's word, brethren. This is not the word of a group of men. This is not some ancient writing that men concocted and put together. It's not some literary art that people, you know, draw from. It's not something just to tell us how to be good. This tells us, the Bible tells us how to have a personal relationship with the God of heaven, our Maker. And so this is the word of God, you see. This is not some church dogma or creed, or this is not just a list of do's and don'ts. It's the very word of God. And when you approach it, and when I approach it that way, we reproach it approach it with seriousness, soberness, you see. We don't just casually, as James will address here in just a moment. For those who do are tempted to become and apt to be just a hearer of the word and not a doer. And listen, that can happen to any of us, to where we can become like the apostle wrote over in the book of Hebrews, dull of hearing. Oh my, listen, that's a dangerous thing, to become dull of hearing. Where Paul said, I'd like to discuss more scriptural things and more of the word of God with you, but seeing that you are dull of hearing, can't do that. For in the time you ought to be teachers, you have one need that one teach you. And he said, your spiritual senses have not been exercised There's no discernment. Why? Because you've just taken what you've heard and dismissed it. You looked in the mirror and didn't do anything about what you saw. Now let's see what James says in verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now I'd say that probably at one time or another, every person sitting under the sound of my voice would fit that description. Sadly. We've all heard but didn't do. Absolutely. Now, we don't want that to be a way of life for us. We don't want that to become something that we slip into and we're comfortable with, but it can happen. And when it begins to happen, it can lead to great disaster, spiritually speaking. And here's what he said. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural. You see that word there? Natural face. The word is Genesis. The face that he was given. The face he was born with. The man that he is. All right? You see, this man can only see what's in front of him. He's like a man that sees his face. Now watch it now. He sees his natural face in a glass. So he looks into the glass and he sees himself. And the scripture says in verse 24, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So here's the picture. Man gets up in the morning. Lady gets up in the morning. And she goes and she looks in a mirror. Now a mirror will tell you things that you don't want to hear. Say amen with me. Amen. It'll show you things you don't want to see too. That's right. I told you last week that as far as I can tell, there's about two ways that we can see ourselves, and that is in a mirror and in a photograph. Okay, now I realize in media, you know, that's kind of in a photograph. Did you know that photographs can be photoshopped? We like those photographs. Say amen. We like those photographs. Why? Well, photographs can make us look like we want to look. But you know, a mirror can't do that. A mirror shows you just what you are. That's right. And so when you look in the mirror, you get out of bed, and if you're human, you get out of bed and everything's not in place. Say amen. That's right. So you get out of bed and you look in the mirror, and the mirror says to you, you need to do something with yourself. That's right. That's what the mirror says to you. And this is what James is saying now. Listen to me. James said that if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer now, just a hearer, he's like a person that looks into the mirror. He beholds his natural face in the mirror, in a glass. And when he beholds himself, verse 24, he goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So he looks in the mirror and he sees maybe he's stubble. He needs to shave. And he sees his hair, you've got bed head, right? Amen. It's kind of, you know, flat on one side and sticking up in another. And I don't know, I can't say a whole lot about the ladies. They get upset at me. But you know what? They look in the mirror, they see some things too. Right? They see some things that needs fixing. Now James said when you look in the mirror and you see some things that need fixing, and you don't fix it, you don't do something about it, you're like this person. That'd be like getting up in the morning, looking in the mirror and say, man, I got to do something with that. I can't go out in public looking like that. But you just walk away, and then you just, he said, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You get in a rush, and you rush out, and you don't do anything about yourself. Now, you say, well, preacher, I'd never do that. Well, I don't think you would. I don't think so. Physically. But now spiritually, it can happen. See, spiritually, you can look in the mirror of God's word, and God's word will show you some things about yourself. And then if you just go on and not do something about it, you'll forget. And things will begin to pile up and add up. And you'll begin to drag those burdens and those things around from place to place. And I'm telling you, it's a heavy thing to drag, these things that we bear. And James said, when you look in the mirror, you need to do something about what the mirror shows you. Did you know that when we look into this book right here, now listen to me, God not only shows us himself, And I'm glad that he does. This book manifests God to us. Amen? See, the living word, Jesus, manifested God to us, but so does the written word manifest God to us. It manifests God to us, but it also manifests us to us. This book tells us about ourselves. That's why people do not read this book. You say, "Oh, preacher, I have 20 reasons I don't read the Bible." Well, let me just save you some time and give you one. Okay? Because we don't like what this book says to us about us. Now, we have a couple of people in our congregation, and I'm not going to embarrass them by calling their name, but they have told me that they can't read. Some have said, or one has said, "I can't read very well." One said, "I can't read at all." But I'm going to tell you what they do. You think they sit at home and say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to go to church, can't read." Or, I'm not going to get in God's Word because I can't read. They use no excuses. They listen to the Word of God on DVD and CD for hours at a time. You know why? Because the Word of God means something to them. Does the Word of God mean something to you? What's it mean to you? 5 minutes a day? Is that how much the Word of God means to me? Is that how much the Word of God means to us? 5 minutes a day? We spend more time in front of the physical mirror than we do the spiritual mirror. If that's all we spend in front of this book right here, then I'm going to tell you, when we get down into verse number 27, when he says in verse 27 that we ought to keep ourselves undefiled before God, and we ought to keep ourselves, the last part of verse number 27, keep ourselves unspotted from the world, it's not going to happen. Not with just a couple of minutes looking in the spiritual mirror a day. Couple of minutes, you're not going to be able to see all the spots that need to be cleansed. Say amen with me right there. Now listen, you say, "Preacher, don't beat me up." I'm not going to beat you up. I'm not a bully. I'm just telling you, all of us need to understand that the Bible is very, very important in our lives. And we need to take time and make time to spend time in the Word of God. And the devil is going to do everything he can to ensure that we don't. The devil wants to get you so busy to where you are like that man passing by the mirror. Look in it. "Oh, man, I need to do something, but I ain't got time. Got to go." And so here you go. In the morning. "God so loved the world. Amen. Go." Ooh, not good. Not good. But now it can happen. It can happen. Notice what he said. He said in verse 24, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way." Just enough to see what he's like, but then he goes away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, what is this verse of Scripture teaching you, and what's it teaching me? It's teaching us that we need to spend time. You see that word in verse number 24, "he beholdeth." Then look down in verse number 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." That's what this is. Now, a lot of laws restrain you. This one sets you free. Amen. It's called the perfect law. There's no errors in the Bible. How many, preacher? That many. Zero. The Bible is what we call inerrant, without error. Infallible, without possibility of error. The Bible is inspired. God breathed is the Word of God. Amen. Yes, it is. You say, "Well, I know a lot of preachers don't believe that." I feel sorry for a man trying to preach something that man wrote. It's got error in it. We're in a world. Why in the world? Listen, I wouldn't preach if I thought the Bible had error in it. I'm serious. The Bible has no error. Inerrant. Infallible. Inspired of God. Now look at it. He said, "But whoso," verse number 25, "looketh into the perfect law of liberty." You see that word "looketh"? I'm going to show you in a minute where that word is used again, and it drives a great truth home. But before I do, I want to tell you what the Bible is in the Old Testament. It's pictured in an article of furnishing. It's called the laver. Now listen very carefully to me. Because unlike that mirror, now all of us wished we had this kind of mirror at home. I know I do. That you could look into it and you could see imperfections and dirty. But not only did that mirror show you and reveal to you what's wrong, it could fix it and make it right. Wouldn't you like to own a mirror like that? Say amen. Take all the lines out, and all the imperfections out, clean you up. Yeah. Some of you look, oh, preacher, I wouldn't want a mirror like it. I know, you're not vain or anything like that. I understand. But did you know that's what this book can do? Now listen to me. Did you know that not only does this book, now listen carefully now, not only does this book reveal the problem, it can take care of the problem. Yes, it can. Not only does this book reveal what's wrong, it can remove what's wrong. Now, how does that work? Well, if you remember when we were studying the articles of furnishing of the tabernacle, right when you walked into the court there, where the gate was, there was the altar of burnt offering where the sacrifice was made. And then between the altar of burnt offering and the tabernacle, there was another article of furnishing. It was called the laver. Now, the laver was beaten with brass. And it was up that the women turned in their mirrors, their looking glasses. You read in Exodus and you'll find where the women turned in all their brass looking glass. That's what they used back then, okay? And they beat it and they fashioned it and they made a laver. Now, that laver was shiny. You could see yourself in it. But that laver had something in it that not only when the priest saw themselves walking up, could they see themselves in the laver, like we can see ourselves in the Bible. But there was something within that laver that they could cleanse themselves with. Can I tell you, there's something in this book that'll cleanse you too. Jesus said in John 15:3, you're clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, by the washing of water by the word. Can I tell you, the Bible will clean you up. The Bible will clean you up. That will. That's why someone has said that sin will keep you from this Bible, or Bible will keep you from sin. It's really not hard, brethren. It comes down to, are you spending time in the Word? And so here's what James said. He said, when you go to the Word, do you see yourself? And through reading the Word, now look in verse 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, look at that next word there, continueth. There's two words there. You see, the first man back in verse number 24, there's a word, forgetteth. Not good. Not good. Casual, hurried, looks into the scripture, forgetful. He forgetteth. But now in verse 25, looketh. Let me show you where this word's used, and then I'll bring this tonight's message to a close. You see that word looketh? Turn, if you would, with me back to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. And I think we get a great definition. I could give you what the Strong's Concordance said that word is, but I want to show you another time that word is used that really defines the word for us. Okay? I'm going to set the stage for you. John chapter number 20. Jesus has been crucified, he has been buried, and now on the first day of the week, okay? When he has come out of the grave, that's where John chapter 20 picks up, and this is what it says. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now somebody raise your hand and tell me who that is. John, the beloved. He's the author of this gospel account. The disciple whom Jesus loved. How would you like to be known as that? You know, really all of us ought to refer to ourselves that way. We're the disciple whom Jesus loves. Amen? So John and Peter. So Mary comes and tells John and Peter, okay? And she come to them, and they have taken away. This is what she said in verse number 2. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Now watch this carefully. So they ran both together, and the other disciple outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. I don't know, maybe Peter, who knows? He had a rough few days, right? Yeah, remember when Jesus was arrested? Maybe he was tired, maybe, I don't know. He had a rough week. And John outrun him. And the Bible says, watch it carefully in verse number 5. When John outrun him, he, verse 5, stooping down, and here's our word, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying yet, went he not in. Now, here's what John did. John was observant. John was careful. John took his time. John didn't just rush through things and say, well, I got my Bible reading in today. Amen. No. John ran up and he stooped down. Listen, he stooped down and got close to where it was, to where he could see it, and he saw. Now, watch what Peter does. Verse number 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. Peter just busts in there. That's Peter. Amen. He just busts in there and looked and said, okay, you know, hey, here it is. And the napkin, verse number 7, that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And Peter said, okay, Mary was right. They have taken him away. Do you know that's the way a lot of people read their Bible? Just kind of rush through it. I got my chapter in or my whatever, you know, read this, dude, done, got it in. Obligation, check, done for today. But now John, on the other hand, he didn't just go to find out if what Mary said was so. He was looking for something more. You know, when we read our Bibles, brethren, let me encourage you to do something. I even hesitate to say this, but don't get caught up in how many chapters you read a day or how much you get done. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. If you read 20 chapters a day, God bless you. God bless you. I think I'd be more concerned about what I got out of it and what God gave me from it than how much I got in. All right? Now get something from, stoop down. Stoop down, look in, get something from it. Notice what happened. Peter run in there, and he saw, and he kind of said, okay, but now watch what John does. And he got rewarded for it, by the way. And so will we. The Bible says in verse number 8, then went in also the other disciples. See, he looked into it first. He stooped down, he looked in, and then Peter ran right on by him and went in. Can you just, I mean, in my mind, I can picture it. Amen, I mean, I can just picture it. Peter just said, ha, I beat you. Amen. Finish the Bible before you did. Finish my Bible reading before you did. Beat you. That's not what it's about. It's not about a race. Who can read the most or who gets done the quickest. You know, it's about getting something. It's about letting God give you something that's going to help change your life and your walk and your Christian experience as you live for Christ. And then the Bible says in verse number 8, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre. Watch what it says. And saw and believed. He got something out of it that Peter didn't get. Because he approached it different. Let me encourage you as we go back and close with the book of James. When you look into the scripture, the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1. Let's close our message tonight in verse number 5. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, looketh, stoop down, look into it. Don't just meet a quota. All right? So you can fill out a piece of paper. I remember when I was in Bible college, we used to have to fill out pieces of paper. I hope if we ever start a school here, and we're praying about it, I hope that I would never allow it to come to that, to where we get people, you know, to fill out pieces of paper on how many chapters of the Bible you read. Now, I think people ought to read the Scripture regularly, daily. And I think it's good, listen, if you read 50 chapters, read 50 chapters. But there will be a section of time where you look down in and get down into the Scripture. He looketh, whoso, verse 25, looketh into the perfect law of liberty. You with me there? Look what it says after that. And continueth therein. Now that's the man. He being not a forgetful hearer. Okay? He's doing something about it. The forgetful hearer, he just looked and goes on his way. But this man, he doesn't. He's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Now there's one word I want you to circle or underline, and it'll be a blessing to you. Did you see it? Look again. He's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed. Look at that next word. In. Not for. See, a lot of times we do things for the blessing. But did you know when we approach the Word of God right, God says, I will bless you in the doing of the work. You will get a blessing for it, but you will also get a blessing in it while you're doing it. Now, I don't ever want to get to the place, and it can happen. I've done it, so I don't certainly not stand up here saying that I've never done this, but I don't want to get to the place where this becomes okay with me, to where all I do is what I do because of what I get from what I do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, we don't like to talk about this because it makes us seem so shallow and vain. But yet, if we're not careful, we'll get to the place of where we do what we do because we know we're going to get what we get. And here, James said, if you will approach the Word of God properly, God will not only bless you for doing what He said, but He will bless you in the doing of it. While you're doing it, God will give you the blessing. Now, oftentimes, people serve God, and you look at him and you think, you know what, that's not a happy man. He needs to be blessed in what he's doing. That's not a happy lady. She needs to be blessed in what she's doing. Not just for it. Well, I'm going to do this. It's the right thing to do. Well, amen. I'm glad that people do that, do right. But I hope that's not the only reason we do it. If it is, it won't last long. Somewhere, that's going to wear off. You can't just casually spend time with this and expect to be blessed in what you do. It'll become laborious. And none of us want that. And I realize I'm preaching to the choir, almost literally. Okay, I understand that. So here it is, the Word of God. It's important. And he said, this is what you do. Now, I'm not going to do it tonight, but the Lord willing, next week, if you'll go home and read verse 26 and 27, he said, you want to know if you're a hearer and not a doer versus if you're a hearer and a doer? Verse 26 and 27 separates the hearers and not doers and the hearers and doers. Superficial. If any man among you seem to be religious. Superficial. It's not real. And then he said, pure religion. That's supernatural. It's real. I pray that God would help us to separate the two. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. James says the Word of God's important. John said the Word of God's important. Peter said the words of God are important. Jude said the Word of God's important. Matthew said the Word of God's important. On and on and on again. Can I tell you, brethren? The Word of God is important. Take this book. Study it. Look into it. Read it. Live by it. Practice it. Share it. Hide it in your heart. Can't go wrong. This is the answer right here. Now, I don't know what you're going through tonight. You may have come to church tonight with a heavy heart. You may have come to church tonight having received some dismal news about your physical condition. Maybe your marriage is shaken. Maybe your job is just weighing on you and you just see no way out. I've got to tell you something. This book right here will guide you through the hard times and the hard places. It doesn't always take them away, but it will certainly guide us through those times. Strengthen us along the way. The Bible is our great companion. As we bow our heads together, I pray that you realize that the Bible is a great companion and that you spend time in the Word of God daily reading the Word, not just to be a hearer only, but a doer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if there would be someone here tonight that would say, "Preacher, as a Christian, I'm going to ask you to pray for me. I need to stoop down and just spend time in the Word of God. I once did it, but it slipped away." Or perhaps you've never done it and you just realized the need for it. "And preacher, I'm going to ask you to pray for me. I need to spend time in God's Word." God bless you, young man, for your honesty. Yes, ma'am. Hands throughout the building. That's good. God help us all. God help us all to spend time. God bless you, sir. God bless you. It's important. Yes, sir. It's important. "How much time, preacher?" Well, that's between you and God, okay? Just get something from God. Set you a time and spend that time in the Word of God. Now, before we close tonight, is there someone here that would say, "Preacher, I'm not a Christian. I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior. Tonight, as the Word of God was being presented, God showed me that in a very vivid way. I realize I'm not saved. And I know that if I were to die in my sin, I'd die in my sin and go to hell. And I don't want to do that." Well, let me tell you, you don't have to, because Jesus loves you. And He took your place. He died for your sin. He was buried and He rose again. And if you will trust Him as your personal Savior, you can know Him in a personal way and your sin would be forgiven. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. I'm not saved. Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to come to you nor embarrass you. I want to pray for you. Anyone? Anyone like that? Anyone? Okay. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. God, help us not to be dull in hearing or to be lazy listeners, but help us to train our ears and the ears of our heart to listen, even as Samuel, as a young man, heard the voice of God. And when God spoke to him, even when he did not recognize, he moved until he realized it was God and then said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Help me. God, help us as your people to have the heart of Samuel. "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And as you reveal to us, help us to carry out your will, I pray now. I ask you to be with these that lifted their hand. Help us each one to be men and women of the Bible. May we read it and heed it and share it, that God alone would receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.